Egypt had been the home of the Israelite people for centuries. Though Egypt had been a symbol of the temporariness and worldliness, the very opposite of that which God promised the Israelites, which is heavenly, which is a land which floweth with honey and milk. The people of Israel, because of the new Pharaoh, who regarded not the God of Joseph, had become slaves and were greatly oppressed by their taskmasters. Israel built the cities of Egypt. It was their brute that catapulted Egypt to prominence in the world stage. And it was to this culture that Caleb was born, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. He was the older brother of Kenaz. Caleb was born a slave, and slavery was normal to him. It's all the life he knew how to live. But there was a message of another life. 40 years before, there was a prince of Egypt who was exiled because of crimes he committed against Egypt. That prince was the adopted son of the Egyptian princess. Adopted? Yes. He was adopted from the people of Israel. And therefore, that prince was of the same people as Caleb's people. That prince was Moses. And that prince was back from exile. Moses brought news of a different life. A life which was free, a life in the land where milk and honey flowed, a land which God had promised to the children of Israel. It was to this news that Caleb was awakened. He was 40 years old when he was selected a spy for his tribe. And following your outline now, Caleb was one of the 12 spies spent to scout out the land of Canaan. Although he and Joshua, another spy, recommended an immediate attack to capture the land there, which flowed with milk and honey, their suggestion was rejected by the Israelite tribes because of other reports of heavily defended fortresses. Consequently, entrance into Canaan, the promised land, was delayed for some years as a divine judgment, approximately 40 years. When Israel, under Joshua's leadership, finally occupied Canaan, Caleb, at age 85, was assigned Hebron, which he conquered by overcoming its Anakim's inhabitants. Caleb then offered his daughter Aksah, by the way, Caleb had 4 daughters, and he offered Aksah to whoever overthrew nearby Debir. Othniel, Kenaz's son and Aksah's cousin, was able to claim her as his wife by conquering the town. Hebron later became a Levitical city of refuge. In some portion of Caleb's territory, David spent time as an outlaw and met his future wife Abigail, then the wife of Nabal, a Calebite. Here also, his wives were captured by Amalekite marauders who had raided southern Judah and the Negev of Caleb. Turn to Numbers 13, and this is where we will draw out our lesson tonight. Numbers 13. And here's the context. The God of Abraham has begun to fulfill his promise to Abram, that is, to give the land of Canaan to the children of Israel. God instructs Moses to send out men, one from each of the 12 tribes to spy out the land. And one of the 12 spies is a man by the name of Caleb. And I have given you already a brief biography of Caleb. Now, I want to show you four of Caleb's characteristics that we ought to imitate. Four of Caleb's characteristics that you and I ought to imitate. Reading, beginning in verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. How big is that cluster that two men had to carry it? And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of children of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Can you hear a but coming? But, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb, are you crazy? These guys are giants. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. I mean, they're just blowing it up. They're just going and over-exaggerating it. These giants, they eat up the people that come to them. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I'd like to draw your attention to verse 30 there. It says, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. That is the word of the Lord for us tonight. And may it be a blessing in our hearts. There are four characteristics we see in Caleb that we ought to imitate. Number one, Caleb's fear. Caleb's fear, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb's fear was a healthy fear of God. Caleb feared the Lord rather than he feared the world. Caleb feared the Lord's words rather than the world's words. Did Caleb fear giants? Of course he did. But there was an even bigger giant that he feared, and that it was God. Fear of people is normal. We call this respect. But when we fear people more than we fear God, then we are in the wrong. Caleb's fear was a healthy fear because his focus was God and in what God had promised. The other spies' fear was not a healthy fear because their focus was no longer God. Their focus was no longer God's word, but on the giants. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 13. "And the Lord spake unto Moses." They had forgotten that already, that it was the Lord who commanded Moses to bring or to gather to himself 12 spies so that he could send them. And then verse number 2 says, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I," what class? "Give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." They had forgotten that it was God who said, who is giving them the land of Canaan. They feared the giants. They had forgotten God. And yet we see here Caleb's fear was a healthy fear because his focus was God and in what God had promised. Adults, what do you fear? Did God not give us some tasks to fulfill? Did He not give you and I, you and me, an important job to do? Did He not save you for His glory and so that you can give Him more glory by telling others of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I am very, very quick to tell this to my children. I won't tell you her name, but he's my favorite second child. She has a fear, intolerance of pain. I mean, the other week we were pulling her tooth, and if you heard her reaction about that, it's like, "Brittany, close the windows, close the door, because our neighbor's going to think like we're abusing this child." She had an unhealthy fear of having a tooth being pulled. And here it was. It was even nothing. And I'm very quick to tell her, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind and of power. This unhealthy fear that you have is not from the Holy Spirit, is not from God. It is from one who instills an unhealthy fear in you. And who do you think is that? And she would say, Satan. I'm quick to tell my children that. But are we, as adults, quick to tell ourselves that when we stand before men and fearing what they might say unto us if we start to tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do you fear? Young people, what do you fear? Did not God give you important jobs to do? Love God and keep His commandments? Are the things you are now doing in alignment with loving God and keeping His commandments? Obey your parents in all things? You might object and say, why? Because God has ordained them to be your authority at this point in your life. But they're not Christians. Then respectfully tell them to become Christians. You might object to say, but they're busy. They won't listen to me. Well, then invite them to church. Give them a sermon CD. Haven't tried that. Maybe I will. That's a good start. Young people, keep yourself pure sexually. And more importantly, pure in thoughts. Do you fear that if you don't give of yourself sexually now, that you would grow an old maid? Or you young men would become lonely bachelors? Your thinking is wrong. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is not legalism. Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden is light. You go on living in the fear of your peers and by what attracts you, by what you see in the world, mark my word, then you're going to live a hard life. For the way of the transgressor is hard. It was clear whom the other 10 spies feared. Is it not clear to you? They feared who? They feared the giants. The other 10 spies feared the giants, but Caleb feared an even greater giant, for his eyes were focused more on the spiritual, not on the physical. His ears were focused more on the promise of God, not on the prospects of a worldly generation. And I implore you tonight to imitate Caleb in his fear of God. Secondly, Caleb's fellowship. Caleb's fellowship was with men who feared the Lord rather than the world. It was with men, though few in numbers, who were sure about whom they were following. And it was the Lord. Caleb's fellowship was the men who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, there was only one other man in Caleb's fellowship who also followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And his name was Joshua, the son of Nun. Numbers 32:11-12. Let's read that there. Numbers 32:11-12. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. This is the Lord speaking. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Now, the pull of the 10 other spies was heavy. They were men of passions, just as Caleb and Joshua were. They were men who had families, wives to protect, and children to feed. They felt the same insecurities and the same vulnerabilities that life offered. They all saw the same evidences of the good of the land. I tell you, I write this and I can write it just fine, but sometimes I can't speak it just fine. They all saw the same evidences of the good land, didn't they not? They saw the same evidences of the good land. They all agreed and confirmed that it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But not all of them affirmed that they could take the land for their possession. The pull, the influence of the 10 spies sounded pretty legitimate. Verse number 28 of our text, Numbers 13, 28. Nevertheless, the people, be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. It was pretty legitimate of a reason, of an excuse for them not to claim the promised land. This is where Caleb drew the line of fellowship. He drew the line of fellowship. Verse 30, Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Caleb must have thought, I am of the fellowship of those who believe in the mighty word of God. I, for one, remember Moses, who proclaimed that Jehovah is the one who promised to give this land which flowed with milk and honey to us. And for another reason, God isn't just going to bring us to the brink of His promise and leave us there. He's going to enable us to claim it too. So Caleb attempted to persuade the other fellowship of the 10 spies. But the 10 other spies stood their ground and opposed him. And they were the majority. And the majority opinion won the day. But Caleb, though a small fellowship, a minority fellowship, remained undeterred. Why? Because in the Lord's side is the majority side. Whose side are you on? Because the minority report is the truthful report, and truth is the Lord's side. What kind of fellowship do you belong? Do you look around and size up what the majority opinion is? Do you look to God's opinion? By the way, when God speaks, He speaks the truth, not just opinions. Do you gauge a fellowship by the number of its followership? Do you look around and say, oh, there's 10 of them, and there's only 2 of you? I think I'm going to go on the majority side here. I think I'm going to go and believe the majority's opinion rather than God's truth. Or by whom does a fellowship follows? Caleb heard the truth of God that Jehovah is the one giving them the land. The opinion of a bigger fellowship is that they're not able to take it. The report of a smaller fellowship is that because God is the one who promised to give it, God will also enable them to possess it. Look around you. Are these the people, the kind of fellowship with whom you would identify? What kind of a fellowship are we, church? Are we inclined to listen and heed the people's opinions? Or do we look to the truth? Do we lift up the word of God here and strive for the primacy of preaching the truth? What kind of a fellowship are we? Are we a fellowship who are easily persuaded by the majority opinion of the society and the culture? Or do we look to the Word of God and search the Scripture of what God has to say about a certain item? I hope that we would be on the Lord's side. Is Caleb's fellowship small? Yes, it was. But his fellowship was big. How so? Because his fellowship was on the Lord's side. Are we small? Yes, we are. But we are big. How so? Because we look not to men's opinions. We look to God's truth. The third characteristic that we should imitate that of Caleb's is this: Caleb's fealty F-E-A-L-T-Y. What do I mean by fealty? What is that? It simply is loyalty to a king. Loyalty to a king. Caleb remained loyal to the Lord even when Moses died off the scene. You see, in Caleb's mind, Moses wasn't the king. The Lord was the king. Caleb's fealty was towards Jehovah, and by virtue of that, Caleb's fealty towards Moses, the leader, was only secondary. Another evidence of Caleb's fealty is that he remained loyal to the Lord even in a transition of leadership. He remained loyal to the Lord even in a transition of leadership. Many people in our day to day, for whatever reason they have, whether biblically based or not, would not remain loyal to the church of God because of a change of leadership. But Caleb maintained fealty to the Lord even when his own peer, the other truthful and courageous spy in the person of Joshua, was placed by God in the place of Moses. Let me ask you a question tonight. To whom do you give your fealty? To whom do you give your loyalty? Turn to Joshua 14, 6 through 12. We see here another instance of Caleb in the scripture. Joshua 14, 6 through 12. And I want you to answer this question as you're reading this. To whom did Caleb give his fealty? To whom did Caleb give his loyalty? Beginning in verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Did I say Joshua 14, 6? And I'm reading Judges. Let me go to Joshua. Okay, Joshua 14. Here we go. Joshua 14, beginning in verse 6. Then the children of Judah, okay, that's the tribe of Caleb. Caleb belonged in the tribe of Judah. The children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. I brought the minority report. I brought God's report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon they thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, These 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, that is, 85 years old. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. To whom did Caleb give his fealty? To the Lord. To the Lord his God. And how much of his fealty did he give to the Lord his God? How much of it? All of it. In its entirety, he gave it all. Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. For how long did Caleb give his loyalty unto God? Only after the leader changed? For as long as he lived. At this time, 45 years had passed already. And by the way, that's a long time. And by the way, the people who opposed him 45 years earlier had all been dead, had died off. And even the men who were aged 20 at that time, they had all been corrupted by the majority report, by the majority opinion of the people. They had all died off the scene. Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. For how long did Caleb give his loyalty unto God? For as long as he lived. If you haven't given your loyalty to God, if you're unsure of how much of your loyalty should you give to God, if you're doubting that maybe you should change your loyalty unto God to another, depending on the leadership of the church, depending on what is going on with the majority opinion, I encourage you tonight to take a look at the fealty of Caleb and study it carefully and imitate it and give your loyalty to God for as long as you live and as wholly as you can give it and as entirety, in its entirety that you can give it. The fourth characteristic of Caleb that we should imitate is his fulfillment. Caleb's fulfillment. Caleb's fear and fellowship and fealty towards God finally were rewarded in the fulfillment of his inheritance. You are in Joshua 14. Let's read that there. The conclusion of Joshua 14. In verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I think you know what the theme of this chapter is. It is wholly following the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Joshua confirmed Hebron to be Caleb's inheritance. Caleb's fulfillment ultimately was found in the Lord. Caleb, his fulfillment was fulfilled by God. God fulfilled his promise to Caleb. God enabled Caleb to drive out and conquer the giants of the land. Can you imagine an 85-year-old man driving out his enemies of the land? Wow! This guy is a great guy because he put his trust in the Lord and because his strength comes from God, and he is being enabled by God to fight off and to drive out the Anakims out of this land. Are you seeking to be fulfilled? Are you seeking to be content? Are you seeking to be at peace? Adults, let me just say this. You will not find what you're seeking for in a church leader. And let me just say this. You will not find seeking it in a politician either. You will find your fulfillment only in the Lord. You will find your contentment only in the word of the Lord. You will find your peace only from the peace which passes all understanding. That is the peace that God gives. Young people, you will not find fulfillment. Listen carefully. You will not find fulfillment of your life in your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Are you listening? You will not find it in amassing great wealth. You will not find contentment by gathering to yourself fame and great fan base. You will find your fulfillment only in the Lord. You will find your contentment only in the word of the Lord. Are you in it? You will find your contentment only in the word of the Lord. You will find your peace only from the peace which passes all understanding. That is the peace that God gives. So, find God and you will find fulfillment. Find the God of Caleb and you will find contentment. Find the Lord, God of Caleb, and you will find peace. We've come to the conclusion of Caleb's characteristics that are worthy of imitation. What is the one single thing that ties all of Caleb's characteristics? What is the one single glue that binds Caleb's fear and fellowship and fealty and fulfillment? What is that? Faith in God. Faith in God's word. Faith in God. Faith in what he said. Faith in the trustworthiness of God. Did it take long? Yes, 45 years. All the other fellows died off. All men at the age of 20 and up, beginning at the evil report of the spies, vanished off the scene. Only the faithful prevailed. Only those who had reverent, healthy fear of God remained. Only those whose fellowship is found in God continued to live to see God's promise done. Only those whose fealty is wholly given to the Lord God of Caleb prevailed. Only those whose fulfillment is founded upon the promise of God remained to see the inheritance of God. With that in mind, how should we pray tonight? How should we pray tonight? God, give me Caleb's fear. God, give me Caleb's fealty. God, give me Caleb's fellowship, and so that I might have the kind of fulfillment that Caleb had gotten. God, help me to put my faith in you and what you promised in your word. Let's pray tonight with that in mind. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a short biography of Caleb. What an outstanding man he was. May we, adults and teenagers, the same, imitate those characteristics. A healthy fear of God. Fellowship that is founded upon the word of God. Fealty, loyalty to the one true God, King of our lives, so that we might find the fulfillment of the contentment that we seek. Father, help us tonight as we think on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.